interpretation? How are these actors? How is this production? Which is great, which is exciting. And there are different ways that you can put, you can change around how you produce a classical piece. There are different ways that you can bring different things to it. But at the end of the day, you know what you're going to see.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's why I prefer contemporary and modern theater. Not that I am the most well-versed in every modern show or have gone to see many, but it's exciting to see something that hasn't been done before, to
sure.
think that, am I going to like it? Am I going to hate it? If I say I like it in 20 years, am I going to find out that I was wrong? Like, I kind of think that it's exciting, and it's kind of the great thing about live theater and about the subject matter is the production level is so much lower than a movie or a TV show. So it's something that you can just, you can throw up there and you can put it up because you think it's important.
Absolutely.
And maybe in 20 years, it's not. And maybe
right.
in 20 years, you realize you were wrong and this was stupid. And you look back and you go, I can't believe I wrote that and cared about it or was in
right.
it. Or saw it and loved it and told everyone to see it. But I think that's what's so exciting about the medium of theater in general is that it's living.
Yeah. I think that's one of those things that, like, makes us so wonderfully diametrically opposed.
Yes.
Sarah, you know, that I am really hesitant about going to see new plays. Like, you have to buy me a ticket and then, like, drag me to the theater and then be like, Emma, get over yourself. Watch this contemporary.
Just
try it.
And
just
we've seen
it.
Some...
Right. We've seen some terrible,
terrible
contemporary
plays
together.
We've seen some shoes or hats or
oh my
suits
God.
Or whatever.
It was the worst. But for me, with classical theater, I like the comfort of knowing what I'm going to get. That, like, even if it's a crap production, even if it's the worst, at least I'm still going to be listening to Shakespeare. At least I'm still going to be listening to Oscar Wilde. I just saw a production, a Shakespeare in the Park, that I thought was just the worst. And I'm not going to say who it was or anything, but it was just... No bueno, but it was still Shakespeare.
It was
me
by myself, just...
You're still eating pizza. Right? That's the joke.
Yeah.
So, that pizza's still pizza.
Is that a situation where you feel safe going to it? Like, you feel safe because you know at the end of the day it's still going to be this.
Sometimes I feel safe, Aaron, and sometimes not so
right.
much.
Like, you're worried that someone can really butcher something really well.
Because they
yeah.
can.
They
and
can.
They
I think
do.
You can.
And I have very strong opinions about it. And for me, you know, I really, like, I don't suffer Shakespeare adaptations. I'm doing air quotes for our listeners right now. Shakespeare adaptations very well. They make me want to punch a dolphin.
What does that mean to you? Does that mean Shakespeare, does that mean Macbeth set in...
No,
in 1940s,
no,
which hasn't happened.
That's not what that means to me. You know, Julius Caesar set in 1920s gangster Chicago is not a Shakespeare adaptation to me. So long as it's still, like, if
awesome
you've edited the word text.
Are you saying, like, 10 things I hate about you?
No, I'm not.
I mean, as a genre.
Like,
not
obvious, obvious.
No, because 10 things I hate about you is so, it's not, it's, like, based on...
It's not exactly
play.
Taming
right.
of the Shrew.
It's not Taming of the Shrew. It's 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
It's the things... It's the plays that sort of go in between. The plays who, like, dumb down Shakespeare or try to make... Okay, so here's a really good example. Julian Fellowes just adapted Romeo and Juliet into the modern vernacular and filmed it. I don't suffer that very well.
And I can get behind you with that. I even had a hard time... If you don't mind me saying, I even had a hard time with Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, because the
yeah.
entire time I was watching it, I was thinking, why doesn't Juliet walk out the front door? Like, when it's set in that time, she wasn't supposed to leave, so she wouldn't leave the house. Like, it's like, you know, it was roles,
mm-hmm.
whatever, it's not what I'm trying to get into. But, and then when you put it in a modern setting, it's strange that...
Well, I just want to reiterate that, like, I don't mind modern settings. It's when you fuck with the language that,
yeah.
I,
okay.
that I get
okay.
pissed. It's, for me, Shakespeare, or, you know, whoever wrote the plays, because that's a whole other debate that we can have later.
Shakespeare wrote the plays.
But for me, those plays are beautiful, and they're poetry, and editing them I get, because nobody wants to sit in a theater for 4 hours. I don't want to sit in a theater for 4 hours.
I want to sit in the theater for 4 hours.
But adapting them makes me crazy. And I think that that's part of, for, at least for me, when we founded 906, part of even our own sort of definition of what good theater was, because for those of you who might not know, listening, 906 defines the playwright as the primary artist of theater. And to me, when you start to destroy the primary artist's work by changing their words, by changing the nitty-gritty of what
they created, that you are better than the person
by saying, I'm better than Shakespeare, I know more than Shakespeare, then I have problems. So,
yep.
How do we even get onto this subject?
Can I have a question about that?
Yeah,
thought?
Yeah.
Just was super off, like, we're getting on a train that's going the opposite way.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize for the...
But I agree sort of with my feelings, my inner feelings about theater, that the playwright is the
primary artist.
However, I don't know that I would say the playwright versus the play.
Right.
I think I would make that distinction.
Sure.
That the playwright can be wrong, but the play, the work, is the important part.
I think it was Mamet who said, when he was asked, what's your expectation of a director? And he said that I expect a director's signature to be as invisible as my own. That the play is the first and most important.
And if you have a playwright with that, I think it works. I, circling back to what you're saying, I understand what you're saying if you are working with a playwright who's writing a play that doesn't make, that something is going horribly wrong and they're not listening to the fact that some of their language needs to go.
Yeah.
I get that. But when you have a playwright that wants to write a true story and they've written a true work of characters, all you have to do is put actors up on stage saying those words.
Right. And the other thing that brings it back around is that there's this huge difference between I'm doing a play with a living playwright and I'm doing a play with a playwright who is dead, who doesn't have the opportunity to say, no, wait, you're doing my play wrong. That's not what my play's about.
Unless you're Shaw, in which he just wrote down everything.
No, I think...
Or Puccini.
A few of us here have done plays where, at least at some point in the rehearsal process or a production of it, the playwright has either been in the audience or been there at some point.
Yeah.
A few of us have actually done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that I have had mixed experiences with that. I have had playwrights who have been like, you know, that wasn't exactly what I pictured, but I think you did a wonderful job. And I've had playwrights who have actually come to us after the performance, gone to each and every one of us, and told us how we were actually supposed to say that line.
Blah.
And that's the worst thing in the world, because at one point, yes, the playwright is the primary artist. He knows what he's writing, he has it down there, and that's great. But once that's done, once the words are there, it is up to the director and the actor
to read those. You go. That can come back to the fact that whatever that playwright has then produced obviously isn't quote unquote good because no one can read it and just like it can't be read and done. You have to have some of them say, no, the inflection is blah blah blah.
Well, how do you feel about
question?
Yeah.
I just have a question about that, which is that I actually don't have the experience of having done a show with a playwright present. Where the show was published and established. I have only ever done shows where, like, they were still in the workshopping process, or that, you know, we were doing it as part of a college playwriting thing.
That was
You know, and so, for me, there's so much more opportunity for a playwright to be like, no, you're doing it wrong, if their play is still being workshopped, versus if their play is published and established, and they're done now with the writing process. What's their reaction then?
And I've been an assistant director and an actor in either of those situations. And in the case of the assistant director position, that playwright just didn't seem to care very much. And in the actor position, she was very involved and very complimentary about everything we had to do. So I haven't had the experience of, like, a really, you know, negative reaction to what we're doing. But I tend to think if a playwright, even in a workshopping space, is telling someone, oh, you're doing it wrong, they're missing the point of the workshop.
Right. That's
right.
Exactly. It needs to come back to the language.
Reevaluate. There's a wonderful Chicago playwright named Jeremy Garrison, who I work with a lot, who writes beautiful plays in Elizabethan verse. And when he does workshops, it's always really stunning to watch him as we do, like, the post-mort or the post-show discussion about his work, because it's never like, you're doing it wrong. It's like, oh, God, I have to change all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, and so it really varies from playwright to playwright, but I still see Jared as the primary artist of his play.
Right.
And for him, I think it's such an ethereal experience. Playwriting is so sort of like he basically only has so much control over it himself. That it's that the play is still
a thing. Once the play is kind of out there, then it's a little bit out of the playwright's control.
Right. Yeah. And I think what we're saying is every like there are also bad playwrights. We're not arguing that at all. But
no.
When we're working with a show that's good, a show that's well, good in quotes, a show that's well put together